time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, here on the Love Bus, Love Bus Liberty Tour at Oklahoma. Yeah, it's been a while since I've done that. I'll do better next time. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're talking to the man, Tony Tangelos. Now, I've known Tony for a long time, decade or so. I push your button. I'm sorry, how long?
9 years.
God, yeah, it's almost a decade. It's been a while. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have him give the whole story because I'll take half hour to tell it. And he is the host of the event that's going on up here with Derek Brose here at the airport. He's got an air park up here. I'm going to let him tell every little old thing. But the first thing is, you probably should tell the audience how we know each other and what you did in the past and how we overlapped and, you know, and why we're up here. And I know, Tony. Tony's going to have something to say about something going into whatever the heck is coming because this is what he's been talking about forever anyway. So, Tony Tangelos, introduce yourself to the peoples.
Okay. Well, Ernie, we've been friends for a long time. My dad raised me to be a prepper. He went through the Great Depression in 1927, hungry and homeless. And he always warned me as a child, son, there's going to come a time in your lifetime where I went through and the Great Depression is going to pale in comparison. And I just see that unveiling and unfolding right in front of our eyes. I mean, 9/11 was like the trigger for me. We're coming up on the 20-year anniversary in about a week. So I started...
There's that. I mean, along with all the other stuff, and there's that.
Yeah. So I started a radio show in 2012 called The Prepper Patch on KFNX. It had 5 of the 10 largest syndicated shows in the country. And did that for 5 years. And then 2013, we did these Prepper Fest expos that you were an exhibitor at with Freedom's Phoenix. And, you know, we could not make those expos break even. You know, the beer garden shows, the tattoo festivals, the junk in your trunk shows, 10, 12,000 attendees. By the way, we're going to save your life because you're going to have all the cool stuff you need to live through the apocalypse. We struggle to get 3,500 people to go to these shows. And I had six-figure budgets on these shows, Ernie. I mean, I was doing digital billboards, front-page banner wraps on New Times. I mean, we were bus stop billboards. We were marketing very heavily.
I bet they'd be popular now.
Yeah, well... We couldn't keep doing them. So I was losing 20 to 40 grand on them. So in 2015, I felt called, okay, the radio show is to wake people up. The expos were to teach them how to get their preps and how to use them. But the final manifestation of a preparedness lifestyle is to live in a community where you have solar power, well water, you're off in the mountains, and you have food and livestock. So you have the total solution. You know, and a lot of people are like, well, that's crazy talk. I get my food at the grocery store. You're a crazy person. And I'm like, well, I'm just advocating for the way everybody lived on this earth from the beginning of time until the Industrial Revolution. They lived in a small community. They had a well for water. They knew their neighbors, and they grew their own local farm-to-table crops and livestock. What's weird about that? What's weird is, since the Industrial Revolution, there was this huge migration off of farms and into cities, and that brought down the breakdown of society. It brought down crime. It started a lot of the alcoholism and the drugs and everything. A lot of the breakdowns happened when the Industrial Revolution hit. So we're just trying to go back to the way people used to live. And it's considered a radical concept by many. But there's a growing pool of people that are seeking that lifestyle. And that's what the Homesteader Haven was all about, is all about, that I came up here to buy. And I purchased 320 acres of land in 2015. I paid it off in August of 2020. and we're in the process. We just bought this last parcel literally a week ago. That's the entrance to the Haven, and we're putting a road in there. And we hope to, our first building we're going to put on there, Ernie, is an Orthodox Christian church so that we can be worshiping Jesus Christ this Christmas at the Homesteader Haven.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you
so
got to go.
We're very excited about that.
Well, this is, so it's a Christian community then.
Well, so let's talk about that. So let's talk about the Haven. So the Haven was originally going to be open to anybody. And then a pastor friend of mine named John Peck told me about a book called The Benedict Option. Have you heard about that book?
No.
It was written by a guy named Rod Dreher. And it's all about how in post-Constantine Rome, when the Romans saw that the Goths were coming to invade and they saw Rome was going to collapse, this guy named St. Benedict said, hey, Christians, you want to survive the collapse, you need to get the hell out of the city and move up into the mountains. And so he built a monastery in the mountains, and post-Constantine Rome, the Christians that wanted to live, they left Rome before the collapse, and they moved up into the mountains, and they hung out in this monastic community. And so, you know, part of me coming up here from Phoenix, moving up to Sholo in the mountains, 6,000-foot elevation, was to explore possibly having some monastic element to it. So it's gone from open to the public to being a monastic community. And the latest iteration, which really came to mind at Jackalope, which for the first time I finally went to Jackalope, you've been advocating for me to go to that for years, is a hybrid community of many different communities. So where I see it headed right now is the Haven's going to have villages. There'll be villages in the Haven. And there'll be a village for Orthodox Christians, but there's also going to be an anarchist village. Yes, I'm looking you in the eye, and I'm saying there's going to be an anarchist village.
Yeah, Ernie, you can be the leader of the anarchists.
No, you could be the leader of the anarchists.
There's no leader of anarchists.
There's going to be we're looking at having different villages, and I know one of your things about communities is, what are the rules? You know, what can I do, what can't I do, and what's the third question you ask?
What's your conflict resolution?
Yeah, conflict resolution, yes. So we're planning an HOA to tax people to pay for the private road maintenance, because we're not going to do public roads. We're going to have a gated community, private roads. We're going to have to maintain them. So it's going to be a very minimal tax. We're looking at like $100 to $150.
Why do you call it a tax?
A quarter. Well, it's a fee to pay to maintain the roads.
Yeah, whatever, man. I don't like the word tax.
So, yeah, well, it's a fee, you know. And then each village will have their own set of HOAs that they'll come up with. So the anarchist village, they're going to create their own HOA for that village.
Those damn anarchists, they build their own roads. They got the best roads.
Yeah, if they want to take on building and maintaining their roads, then they don't, you know, they can figure out how to do that. But they're going to get to that village in the Haven, they're going to have to drive through the main roads, and so they're going to have to pay a little bit of a fee to pay for that. So we don't have all the details worked out, but I do believe that where we're going to end up is there's going to be a village for anarchy. There's going to be a village for Orthodox Christianity. There'll be a village for other
you know, the
groups.
One thing that off the bat, I can tell that you think there's not going to be an overlap.
Well, there could be.
There's going to be a lot of anarchist everybody.
Yes, there could be.
Jesus was an anarchist.
Well.
Yeah, we can discuss it. You know, it was, you know, my thing has been, I mean, Donna and I are Christian, but, you know, our four kids went 6 years to Phoenix Christian Junior Senior High.
Okay.
I mean, we went North Phoenix Baptist till they pissed me off, and we just started having church service at our home for years.
Okay.
You know, so you know, I can be in the club if I wanted to be.
Okay. Okay.
I know all the secret handshakes. You know, but it's is not my main. You know, I know it's so important to a lot of people, but for me, the freedom to worship is way, way up there, or the freedom not to. You know, we're going to get some state-sponsored thing. I'm like, no.
So your big tagline is freedom is the answer. What's your question?
Yeah.
And I have to say, I really agree with that in many ways, because, you know, we're facing right now a war on our country's soul. And as Joel Skousen writes in his World Affairs Brief.
My soul.
Yeah, as Joel writes in his World Affairs Brief, this is the first time in the history of humanity that the entire planet is under a continual one centralized attack with this COVID vaccine. It is a global war.
No, this is the first that everybody knows it.
Well, you know.
I think it's been going on a while.
And it's time for people to wake up. I mean, there's a polarization coming on right now, and the polarization between the vaccinated and those who are standing up to not vaccinate. So Gio, my partner and I, we signed a Declaration of Medical Independence. I don't know if you've seen that. So it's a symbolic thing. So we're not trying to overthrow the government like
you
the
get
original
this
one.
A link or a print or something we can put it in the archive.
We have a poster of it tomorrow. You'll see it in the Derek Bro Summit. And Derek's going to make
we'll
it
take
a,
pictures.
Derek's going to make it a signature part of his presentation.
There you go.
So we've taken a stand that we are not taking the vaccine under fear of imprisonment or death. We are not taking the vaccine. I've had it notarized so you can know it's my signature, and I've just taken a stand. I'm clear of thought. I'm not taking the effing vaccine. It's not going to happen. And we encourage other people to get clear about that, because people are going to have to decide. They're either going to have to take the vaccine or not, and if they're not going to take the vaccine, they best be coming up with a homesteader haven type lifestyle like Paul has, where you have your own crops and livestock, solar power and well water, so you don't have to buy at the stores, because we're going to face a day in the future that, you know, today it's you got to wear a mask in a lot of stores, tomorrow it's going to be taking the vaccine. And I see this really dovetailing with biblical revelation. The vaccine is really the gateway to the mark of the beast. I mean, it just seems very clear to me that the Antichrist is going to come to power when the Third World War. Joel Skousen talks about the Third World War. This can be between Russia, China, and America. And, you know, I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but, I mean, it's pretty clear the communists have taken over America with Biden and Kamala Harris and everything that's going on with our government.
You know, when you say take over America, I mean, you know, to me, they've taken over the shiny badges in America, but not America.
Well,
you know, or the people. I mean, what do you mean?
Well,
they've taken over America.
When I say taken over, their goal. So Stalin was often quoted that he could never, Russia would never militarily conquer America. So they were going to destroy America from within by destroying our patriotism, our morality, and our family. And who could say that they haven't done an excellent job of that? I mean, between, you know, Hugh Hefner, we went from a Norman Rockwell America to Hugh Hefner's America. And our morality is gone. Our patriotism is gone. Our families are destroyed. And so communism has succeeded very well in destroying America from within. And Skousen believes that there's going to be a military attack by Russia and China, which, by the way, is in the Bible, the bear from the north, and I can't remember what China's called in the Bible, but it's biblical. And this isn't the Battle of Armageddon, that comes later, but there's going to be a Third World War, and you look at the way Biden has handled the Afghanistan withdrawal, that's been a clearly orchestrated, in my mind, a signal to the world that the commies have taken over America. The whole way that Biden has exited Afghanistan is so obviously
dumb.
Yeah.
Unsmart.
And it's it's the communist way of telegraphing to their associates, we control Biden. We control Harris.
Yeah, we should have never went in. As soon as we could get out, the better. I was glad that, you know, we're done. But
the whole exit strategy, strategy was utterly
And here's all our goodies for you.
Yeah, exit strategy.
And we're going to give them more financial aid.
I mean, the exit strategy. The exit strategy is just pathetic. So it's the communist way of saying America is militarily compromised. The leadership's compromised. We've gone from Trump, who was very strong despite his misgivings, to Biden, who's just pathetic. And so now I believe during Biden's term, Joel has mentioned this as well. He sees the beginnings of a third world war starting somewhere. And that world war is going to, you know, it's in the Bible that talks about, you know, in Zechariah, eyeballs melting in their sockets. A lot of people believe it's going to involve nuclear weapons. It's going to be a bad war. It's going to be a rough war.
Well, where do you think it's going to be fought?
Who knows?
Well, I mean, what are you looking at? Okay, so people get an idea. Northeastern Arizona, up in near the White Mountains. Are you considered White Mountains here?
Yeah, we're in the White Mountains. We're smack dab in the White Mountains, which in Joel Skousen's book is the best place in all of Arizona to have as a bug out in his strategic location book, which is considered the Bible for places to bug out. It's why I came up here. I bought the book. He's a good friend of mine.
No, we have his book in our guest bedroom. It was always there, and I flip through it every now and then, or I just interview him.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, "Oh man, that book was awesome."
Yeah.
Go, what book?
Yeah.
You know, the, I go, "Oh yeah, that's in there." You know.
Yeah,
So it's, you know, it's a, well, he provides a lot of different ways of how to strategically think about where you're going to live, how to build your house, make it secure.
The secure home. That's another book.
Give you, you know, an exit. You know, a little tunnel, something, or you know, whatever. And how to do your basement and where your gun room is, you know, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, don't hit those wires. The and then it was about location, location, location. And he was really big on the Verde Valley, you know, quite a bit too, or Cottonwood area. He has a place over there. And then and here, and then the Appalachia in Tennessee, there's a place. And
Idaho.
And you know, there's a lot of different places. It wasn't all just one place, but... and. Arizona, here in Sholo, there's a lot of wild game.
Well,
you know,
there's a lot of strengths to the area here. So on our website, which is WML for White Mountain Lake Airpark.com, which is an airport, which will segue into how we bought the airport.
Okay, now wait a minute. What's the website?
It's WML for White Mountain Lake Airpark.com. So that's the website we're using to market our airport, which we bought to finance the Haven. So I got a lot of things going on up here. We have about 800 acres up here. The
Let me go ahead and describe it for people. You have some of the main roads. One of the main roads comes out here to the airport.
Yep.
It's a 4,000 foot long runway, which will take small jets or whatever.
Yeah.
It has a, and it's clean and it's barren and it's just out in the middle. It's got a nice tarmac. It's got a nice, you know, taxiway. It's got a nice runway. It's got a clear, and you got like a search and rescue helicopter over there, and a couple of planes, and whatever. And it's pretty open.
Yep.
And then you have the airport lounge. It's all nice. You know, airport lounge is supposed to be, you know, that thick dark leather and wood, and you know, and the big bathrooms, and you feel, because the pilots like to be pampered. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so it's a really nice airport, but it's not. You got a big hangar over there. But it's not a metropolis. It doesn't have a tower. I mean, it's not a, you know, big giant. I mean, it's a blank slate. Do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, we have a segmented circle and a windsock. We don't have air traffic control tower. We're private. I have a letter from the FAA saying they have zero regulatory authority over us. That was one of the first things I asked when I explored buying the airport. And it's on our website. We really tout all the benefits of the area. So one of the things that's cool about Arizona is Guns and Ammo magazine has ranked Arizona number one all 8 years in a row that they've done their best gun rights states in America. And Arizona's been number one by a country mile. So we have a lot of the issues.
Oh, gee, I wonder why that happened.
Yeah. You know, our idea of gun control in Arizona, Kearney, is how steady you hold your hand while you're shooting at something.
Right.
You know, and we actually have three gun clubs within a couple miles of the airport here. We have the White Mountain Clay Targets. We have the White Mountain Shooters Association. We have the White Mountain Archery Range that's virtually across the street from our airport. And so there's a lot of freedom and liberty up here in this area. We have a wonderful Coconino sandstone aquifer because water is liquid gold, and water is scarce in a lot of places in Arizona. We have really good water here. We have hunting, hiking, fishing. We're less than an hour to Sunrise Ski Resort for activities for people that want their kids and grandkids to come visit. They can go water skiing. We have a private lake here. So the private lake has two cool features, Ernie. It's got, because it's private, it's controlled access. So even on holiday weekends, it's not very crowded. It also allows for jet skiing and water skiing, which all the public lakes up here don't allow. So we really have a wide variety of recreational activities.
Yeah, it seemed like, I saw it on the map. I've never been to that lake. It seemed pretty big.
It is. Well, it's about 300 acres. It's open year-round. We don't ice over in the winter here. We have a contiguous golf course to our airport, literally at the north end of our runway. It touches a golf course. People could take their golf cart from their house and golf cart right over to the golf course and start golfing.
Okay, now let's talk about the land. So, the 300 and whatever acres, I saw some of your, you know, because Tony, whenever he does this, he's OCD about planning and drawing lines and whatever. You know, he got pictures of whatever he liked and way, that's just the way Tony is. So, you know, because before when he's done, you looked at other pieces of property and land before too. And it's like, whoa, 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 man. Well, where's my anarchist freaking white spot in the road? You know, I don't have to have a fire pit everywhere. But the but here it is sectioned out. There is subdivision done here. How did that happen?
So a guy named Mike Isaacson put in over $10 million into this airport back in 2006 and 7. And he put in underground electric, sewer, water, and paved roads in a 61-lot Phase 1 community that got completely final platted, approved by the Board of Supervisors, public report, and they started selling lots. And that
did
was
it get built?
It's all out here, yeah.
It's got the road and the infrastructure.
Sewer, water, underground electrics, no power lines. It's all underground. He spent bank on it. And Ernie, he had the unfortunate experience of completing that in June of 2007. Yeah. And we know what happened 2 months later. In August, the subprime meltdown hit, and he couldn't sell anything up here. So the lot sold for an average of $131,000, and he sold four of them. So we bought 57 of them. There's 61. The four that were sold are owned by private individuals. So we're in the process of raising the money to finish some of the improvements that I didn't do, like the turnouts, the road signs. We need a quarter-million-gallon water tank for fire flow to get Timber Mesa happy, so they'll reissue our public report so we can go back to selling lots. So we're in the process of raising about $2 million to complete those improvements to go back to selling lots. So that's kind of where we're at right now with the
airport. Okay, so this property of the airport includes the airport and those lots that have already been
And another total of 410 acres, yes. And we're just completing a survey of the majority of the parcel to break it out into a retail area and a hangar area.
Okay, so I can't buy a piece of property?
Right now, if you wanted to buy property here, you'd have to buy six lots, which the Arizona Department of Real Estate would allow as a bulk sale. Anything less than six lots, it would be illegal for me to attempt to sell it to you.
Then how big are the lots?
Lots are averaged from 0.7 to 1.5 acres right now. Now,
okay,
I have other land that we're in the process of subdividing that eventually we'll be able to sell that too. But none of the land we can't. So here's the thing. I could sell you land, but you wouldn't be able to do anything with it without these improvements being done, because Navajo County won't
issue.
Would it
be attached to whatever it is you're doing?
Well, yeah. Because you're part of the airport area, Navajo County is going to say, Ernie, you can't build anything. Navajo's not going to issue a building permit unless we spend $1 million to put in the fire flow for Timber Mesa. So you have 1,500 gallons a minute for 2 hour fire flow, which is the new regulation. It used to be 1,000 gallons a minute for 1 hour. Now it's 1,500 gallons a minute for 2 hours. So 1,500 gallons a minute is 90,000 gallons. 2 hours for 1 hour. 2 hours is 180,000 gallons. We've got to put in 150% capacity. We need a 265,000 gallon tank.
Well, I needed a really, 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 really big water rain catch cistern anyway.
Yeah, and steel prices are going up. So the bids we got before are probably going to be more money now to get that water tank put in. So we got a lot going on up here in the White Mountains. We got the Haven property. We've got the airport property. This weekend we're hosting Derek Brose tomorrow. We're the third leg on his tour. He started on September 2nd and 3rd in Texas. He spent all day today driving from Dallas to White Mountains. I believe he's arriving tomorrow around 12 or 1 o'clock. And we're hosting him at the White Mount Lake Air Park. Paul, who you had on the show earlier, was instrumental in getting Derek to come to Sholo, and we're very excited to have him here. We believe, so Paul, Rachel, Gio, and I have been really putting this together. We really believe sincerely that the time is now to build a counter economy in the White Mount Lake area. We have to build a counter economy which is the premise of Derek Brose's book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State, so that people have a way to buy and sell without taking the frickin' COVID vaccine. Yeah. This vaccine's not going away, and the whole charade and facade and the lies that's coming out of big pharma and big government, it's all to tyrannize and enslave us. And
no, they're going to control you. That's one of the when we did the Chamber of Commerce in Heber Obregard, which isn't too far from here, we made it clear. They're going to control you with your bank account.
They're going to
control you with whether you can take credit cards or not.
Yeah.
They're going to control you, financially. And we had a guy, Doug Hodges, which is he owns Bitcoin ATMs in Phoenix, like 15 of them. And he made a presentation. He goes, look, man, which one of y'all wants to have an ATM? Who wants to start doing currency where they can't stop it? Who's going to do the crypto? And I'm glad that they're doing that. I really feel better if they would include silver. You know,
yeah, I'm a big physical metals guy, junk silver and gold. You know, junk silver, it's funny, Ernie. Two quarters in 1965 would buy you burgers, fries, and a Coke from McDonald's for 50 cents. Today, those same two quarters, pre-65 junk silver, are worth about $7, and they'll buy burgers, fries, and a Coke at McDonald's today. So the value of the silver and the coins and the burger, fries, and Coke has not changed. What's happened is the dollar has gone to hell. The dollar's just gone to hell.
You know, I never really understood it until it was about, I guess, 09, 10 or something, when silver took a jump, and a silver dime was worth $4 or something, you know?
Yeah.
And 90% silver dime, it was .071, whatever the hell it was, in silver.
It's 0.715 percent silver.
Well, when you get into junk silver, they bring it down a little bit for wear.
Yeah, like $1,000 face of junk silver's got 715 ounces. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So what happened was I go, well, that's a good price for all the eggs that Donna had with the chicken.
Exactly.
So I go, yeah, you give me a silver dime.
That's right.
I'll give you a dozen
eggs.
That's
right. Exactly.
And then we started to realize.
Exactly.
That's where dime a dozen came from.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right. So I got dime a dozen.info.
That's right. That's right.
And we have, and neighbors
eggs and that silver dime have not changed in value. What's happened is the dollar's gone to shit.
Well, the silver is really worth a lot more.
Well, but it's worth a dozen eggs, though. So.
It would be, worth a lot more expensive, if it was what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, that's the point.
If
silver was up around $50, $60, $80, $100 an ounce, I mean, the usual ratio between gold and silver is 30 to 1. And right now, with gold being $1,700, $1,800, you know, silver should be about $54. And silver's trading in the mid-20s right now.
It's down around 16, 20 to 1, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's, you know, now they have 600 and something ounces of paper on contract every physical ounce of silver,
which
I don't know if you saw this news we had on Freedom's Phoenix, is that the refiners, you know, the people that, you know, actually produce silver for industry and so on, they're starting to buy COMEX contracts and taking delivery.
Take delivery, right?
Because they can't get it anywhere else anymore.
So
it was a cheaper deal.
So for your listeners, I'm big on the 5 G's. You know, gold, ground, grub, guns, and God. And gold is gold and silver. So I'm into biblical wealth. You know, in biblical times, what had wealth? Crops, livestock, land, water, and precious metals. It's primary wealth, Ernie. And you know, I know
cows for women, man.
Yeah, I know a lot of you guys are into Bitcoin and crypto, but the cool thing about junk silver is pre-65 quarters, dimes, and halves, is they're physical, they're tangible. They really haven't been counterfeited because they're so old.
And they're recognizable.
They're recognizable for the value, so they have immediacy of value, and they're just great for buying and selling things. So I see in the counter economy, junk silver is a real-world way to trade a physical something for a loaf of bread or a dozen eggs or whatever.
How do you transition the air park here in Holmes into that mentality? I mean, are you taking gold and silver for your land?
Well, we're not selling yet. And when we do, we are going to have to explore that, because when they bring the hammer down on controlling our bank accounts, we're going to have ways. We need to be thinking about that. I'll be honest with you, I haven't thought a lot about how we're going to deal with.
I know some guys are going to be coming with some crypto. You don't take crypto, you communist.
Yeah.
You know? You go, that's communist money anyway. Communist? No, you're a communist. No. So I'm glad that you're doing this. And this is a lot nicer than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
You know, I thought it was going to be more like on a top of a mesa. I thought it was more
like Sedona Airport.
Well, not that bad. But, I mean, you know, from the pictures I'd seen before, but it's really more kind of in a little indentation, a valley.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has good, because when I was looking at your topographicals, you had them on the wall in the conference room. Yep. I spent probably, 10, 15, 20 minutes in there just looking at all the stuff you wanted to show me. I go, I already saw it. It's logged right up here. You know, I got it. And I'm looking at some of the places that would have good southern-facing property for the solar.
Yep.
You know, where are you going to be in some little topography of using gravity to move my water around.
Yep. Yep.
I want to have a little bit more here, there, kind of. So I'm looking for more than just a couple of acres. I mean, I need it for my kids.
You mentioned 10 acres is what you're looking
for. Yeah, that's my ideal, I think. And so I'm looking at that, and have a airport doesn't suck.
No.
I get my freaking pilot. No. You know, Bob Anderson, lived out in Tonopah, good friend of mine. You know, he had a plane, and then he just bought another one. You know, so he's like, I'm going, hey, man, you going to come up? You know, I could just whip right up there.
Well, Ernie, I decided 2 days ago to become a pilot. So I got my FAA certificate so I can go and get a physical. I'm getting a medical physical, a pilot physical done on Tuesday right after Memorial Day. And then I'm starting my ground school. I had today the gentleman that was
instructor pilot.
That was my instructor. His name's Mr. Palmer, and he's going to be he's going to be teaching me how to fly. So
hell yeah! Who the hell wants to drive?
I
drove from Phoenix up here Friday. I said we get out at 2:00. We'll be there before miss the crowd.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too bad. We get up 20 miles or more. It was 20, 30 miles south of Payson.
Yeah, and you hit a wall.
It was stop.
And you hit a wall.
Stop and go like it was L.A.
Yeah.
And you know what it was? I thought it would be a wreck or something.
It was a light at the Mazatel Casino there.
Yeah, what the hell is that? They need to be slapped, man.
Yeah.
It was a light, going into Payson, a small little town. There's a Indian casino there. And they have a light. I guess I don't know what else you're going to do because, it wasn't going to take the crowd at the next intersection to turn up the highway to go up here anyway. But it was. But what I didn't realize and I should have known is that it's Labor Day week.
Yeah.
You know, and Phoenix has got more populous. It's bigger. It's millions more. And I remember it being that bad when I was a kid coming back, and they widen roads. They do whatever. So now to get to Sholo is like a thing.
Yeah.
But once you're here, you need an airplane.
Well, yeah. You know, and a lot of people ask me, so are you a pilot? And, I've been saying no, but now I'm going to be. And it's freedom and liberty. You know, I'm a binary guy. I mean, night and day, black and white. You know, the ultimate binary is Jesus Christ and Satan. And our world is really heading into a binary of tyranny and freedom. You know, we're facing a real global war for tyranny right now.
Yeah, it's not gray anymore.
there's no gray. It's here. It's in our face. And to me, the solution is freedom, water freedom, food security, energy security, location, temperature, and altitude security, which we have up here in the White Mountains, and transportation security by being your own pilot.
There's still winter up here. There's snow on the ground.
I grew up in Chicago, Ernie. These winters.
These are pansy. Pennsylvania.
These are pansy-ass winters compared to the windy
city. Describe it for the people. Well, what's winters like here?
So we have all four seasons, none too harsh. So in Chicago, when it snows, it sticks around for 3 months. Up here, we are at 6,000-foot elevation, Ernie, so it snows. We get about 2 feet of snow in one shot. It's gone in 3 or 4 days. The sun comes out the next day, and it gets in the 50s in January, and it starts melting that snow. 3 days of sun, and the snow's gone. So
this is how it's seen from Phoenix. When it snows up here and you get a good snow, that means that the White Mountains, Sunrise, which is the Apache Indian Reservation up there, they run Sunrise Ski Resort, which is really nice. Then there's up north of Flagstaff is Snow Bowl, which is on the San Francisco peaks up there, Twin Peaks up there. And it's really high. It's, I don't know, is that
12,600 feet.
Really? Damn.
Well, the mountain's 12,600. The top of Agassiz lift is 11,600. I've been skiing there since the mid-'80s.
Yeah,
I love
damn,
it there.
That's, I love it thought. There. Anyway, so they have snow, but you got to have precipitation, get snow, or they do snow machines, whatever. When it snows and you get a good, and it's about every third year you can count on. It's not every year.
Right.
But when it is, man, we go to Sholo.
It's fun.
So you come up here and everybody does the toboggan. They got homes up here and kind of in the winter wonderland of Christmas of whatever. But you better go that week because if you wait another week, it might
gone.
Not be
it's
there.
It's gone, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's kind of a timing thing. So, yes, it is known for the snow, but not for the snow, you know.
Yeah.
And
the winters aren't harsh. The summers aren't harsh. We rarely hit 100 degrees. The coolest thing about the summers up here, Ernie.
There are sometimes ice on the high. I want everybody to know you still have the big wrecks and the crashes.
Yeah.
It's not like no snow or no ice.
No, we
but
get
it's,
that.
But it's very mild.
But what's really nice up here, Ernie, is in June, July, and August, it's in the 50s here at night. I mean, it was 58 last night. You know, I'm already starting to have to put, my down comforter on in September here because it gets in the mid-50s.
No, I'm up here for the sleeping weather.
Yeah.
I'm
the sleeping weather
skippy.
Is, even in the summers, it cools off at night. So I love it up here. I grew up in the Midwest where it's cold. I did my 35-year penance in hell in Phoenix, and now up here in Sholo, we have it's not as cold as Chicago. It's not as hot as Phoenix. It's just really nice up here.
It does get warm during the day.
It was in the 90s. It was like 91 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah, which is.
But as soon as the sun goes down, I mean, like right now.
I don't mean squat to somebody from Phoenix.
Right now, if you open the windows up, I'm sure it's cooling off outside. It's probably in the 60s right now.
Yeah, I'm getting cold. I still got that air conditioner on. I'm like, I need to turn that down.
So, but getting back to the mission, we're in a war, and I want to thank you for all you're doing with Freedom's Phoenix. I didn't realize you had interviewed Judy Mikovits as often as you have. One of the things we're going to be handing people tomorrow, Ernie, is a list of resources for truthful information, and we're going to have Freedom's Phoenix on there. We're going to be talking about the New American Magazine from the John Birch Society, which has had 5 cover issues, including this last one that's the latest issue, all on COVID.
COVID lies, one of them with Fauci on there, forced vaccines and digital IDs, shocking.
Yeah.
The war on hydroxychloroquine,
Freedom is the cure. There they got
freedom
you right there.
Freedom is the cure, coronavirus. Yeah. No.
And let's see, descending from the panic attack. This is another one on the whole, you've got to take the vaccine or, whatever. Yeah, so it's really, and then you've got Joel Skousen, who does a wonderful job of really connecting a lot of the dots on this is the best one here, Donna. You got Joel Skousen, who's really connecting the dots on a lot of the organized crime syndicate, as Howard Lightman calls it. Howard's hosting the Sedona stop on Monday. And when I was out there at Jackalope with him sitting around the campfire, anytime I used any words to describe the organized criminals, he would, if I used elite or, globalist or no. They're organized criminals, Tony. They're organized and they're doing criminal activity. Don't give them anything better than being organized criminals. And
what's interesting?
I'm like on board with Howard's plan on that now.
Yeah, what's interesting is that you and I came at it different perspectives. I was always supportive of all of the stuff that you were doing.
You've been very supportive. Very supportive.
I know a guy. But and I think you often, as all this was happening, I'm going, wonder what Tony's doing. But I remember you told me you were going to buy this place. This was a big, dream of yours. You wanted to get it. And I'm glad that worked out for you. But, whatever differences we had, whatever different tactics, or you're like, Ernie's a little too something. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling all of us are starting to overlap a lot
more.
Well,
no, we are. And we got to work together, Ernie. So I'm glad you reached out to me on the phone. I'm glad you came up here and made the pilgrimage up to Sholo. It was a bitch of a drive for you yesterday. I'm sorry you had all the challenges you had, including your lights going off on you. But I'm glad you're here. I'm really excited we're getting a chance to sit together tonight. You'll be a part of the Derek Bros experience tomorrow. And we need, so the Patriots, the Joel Skousen, Sheriff Max, Ernie's, myself, Derek's, we need to work together. We need to work together to raise the awareness of the war we're under. We are under a war for the soul of this country, for the soul of each human being on this earth. I truly believe in this binary world we're in that Satan is behind. In fact, Joel Skousen even mentioned that he actually put in writing in one of his World Affairs briefs about 2 months ago, no, it was more than that, that Satan was desperate to not let Trump get into office, because if Trump got in, he wouldn't have had time to build his kingdom on earth before Jesus would come. Joel actually put that in writing, that he sees that this war between darkness and light is coming to a head, and Satan's going to frankly deceive the vast majority of the world. he's going to deceive the majority of the world into thinking he's God.
All right, here, this is going to make you smile. Since Trump came down the escalator in the summer of 15, every week for, God, what has it been, six-something years, we've done the Trump Report.
Okay.
With Dr. Frank Tamburi, which is a...
Even after Biden got in office, you're still doing it?
Yeah, because why not?
Okay.
We call it a tyranny report, but then, you know, Frank just likes calling it the Trump Report anyway.
All right.
But we've been doing it every week, and we just focus on the culture. Because I don't do politics that much. I mean, I do philosophy more than I do politics. And, you know, I want to look at solutions and the kind of stuff that you're doing and meeting different people and people that have, you know, a lot of different ideas. I came into Heber Overgaard. And we went to dump the tanks and so on. And there was a couple there that had a little RV storage place. And they had to show me once they saw the Love Bus and what we were about and everything. First, of course, they, you know, it's vaccine education. Of course, they think we're like advocating, you know, shots or whatever. Once they find out what we're doing, they go, oh, hell yeah, man, we got to show you this. Well, what they do, they come out with this, the Wild Bunch newsletter that comes from Brandon Smith of alt-market.com, altmarket.com, which is, you know, another anarchist, you know, type and so on. Well, a lot of his stuff, he's a younger guy, but it's just, man, he's getting a lot of play now.
Okay.
So, yeah, Donna, did you try and get a hold of Brandon? Okay. Now! Anyway, so, yeah, I was trying to get a hold of him too, but he had a different email or something. But these guys that would be so far out there that people would say, oh, that'd be crazy. What these? This couple, you know, they're probably 55, 60 in Heber. And they had to give me this printout of him. Oh, you got to read this guy. Well, I've had him on the show four or five times. Okay. I know who he is. And I'm going, man, when you got business owners of RV storage in Heber.
Yeah.
Handing me.
It's like a shoe shine boy
Smith.
Moment. Yeah.
Right. You know, it's like we got to buy some stock. You know? but when they're starting to do that, I'm going, yeah, I think the you know, we're on the other side here.
We're close. I mean, I tell my kids and young people, I'm 61. You know, I believe, you know, if I don't see Jesus come in my lifetime, I'm convinced he's going to be coming back in our kids' lifetime. Most of the priests that I talk to, they believe that, you know, it's going to be in the next couple of decades. You know, we're going to be going through. You talk to Skousen. You talk to some of the, like, Skywatch TV, Joe Horn. A lot of these people think it's going to be coming down in the next 10 years. You know, that the start of the tribulation
is going to hit. Everybody's waiting on that. Like, it's supposed to be they're doing something virtuous by waiting on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's going to find me busy, man.
Yeah, that's right.
He's
that's
like,
right.
You know,
there's no grass growing under my feet.
Yeah, you better get on it.
We're building the haven. We're building food reliance, food security. It's all about security and freedom. Freedom is the answer. What's your question? You know, you got to want to have location, temperature, altitude, healthcare, food, water, and spiritual security. So we're trying to build that lifestyle for people up here. And at the Haven,
this is one thing. Talk about it. This is one thing I want to talk. This is where the discussion between Tony and I always goes. Yeah, Ernie, man, you need to come up. You got to get yours. You got to get. And I go, you know what? What do I got to do? Well, you're going to I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no, right.
You know, well, what can't you do? Well, you're not allowed to. Yeah, but I was kind of counting on doing that.
Yeah.
You know, so
we're still working that out. I'm literally writing the HOA and CCNRs right now. We're taking the ones that were here, and we're cleaning them up and fixing a bunch of them. But, you know.
Well, you're like Paul. He's got animals, and he's doing whatever the heck he wants. And
he does whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, well, I want to whatever the hell I want.
So
I want a purple freaking neon flashing sequin door, man. I mean, you know, what are you going to do about it? You know, Derek, you remember Derek Venetian used to be?
Yeah.
I went
yeah, I know Derek
Prescott
well.
And interviewed her a couple. You should listen to that show.
She was chairman of the Navajo County Republican Committee about 4 years ago.
Yeah, no, she is heavy involved. It was an awesome interview. And she's talking about when she first moved to Prescott, she's got like $1 million properties there.
Okay.
She's got a couple. You know, she's Airbnb in this super duper redoing corporate whatever the hell. And up in the mountain, it looks like, you know, might as well be the, you know, Hollywood Hills or something,
okay.
You know.
All right.
And which is why Californicated, you know, Prescott, everybody came over there.
They totally Californicated
Prescott. So when she's got this nice place, And she said when she first got there, all of a sudden the lawn Nazis show up. Well, we're the, you know, architectural advisory board of the blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, decade before, or two decades, they had done away with the homeowners association because everybody was so pissed off at them.
Yeah,
they just did away with it.
Okay.
So you don't want them doing away with you without, you know, your participation because you're a butthead. But the, so they did away with them. Well, they still think, you know, three of them show up. Well, we're the advisory. She goes, one, that HOA was dissolved long. I made sure of that before I bought here. And two, he ain't telling me anything to do it. So she made it real clear to them, you know, get out. They're thinking this demure little, beautiful little small girl
is going to push her around. Yeah,
and they had no idea who they were dealing with. So then they go away, and I said, you know what sounds like you need a pink flamingo.
Oh, gosh.
And she points right out the front of the bus, and sure as shit, there was a little one sitting right there under a pine tree, this little pink flamingo. And I go, dare you the woman.
So let me ask you, so one of the things, you know, I know one of the anarchism principles is non-aggression, right? So you can do what you want as long as your idea of doing what you want isn't aggressing on somebody, like child molestation or rape or murder or theft.
Well,
or anything
I put
like
it
that.
As, you know, I want to be able to enjoy the peaceful enjoyment of my property.
Okay. So you use the word peaceful. So
they're quiet and peaceful.
Well, yes. So I want to ask you. So, like, all my life since I've been married, since 92, every property that my wife and I have owned, wherever we lived, and I'm divorced now, but no matter where I've lived, including where I live right now, there's a freaking dog in the neighborhood that will start barking and will not stop all night long. I mean, it just does not stop. One of them was so bad, the dog was about 5 feet from my headboard in my bedroom. I couldn't even sleep with earplugs in. The dog, I could still hear the dog.
They're quiet and peaceful.
So
enjoyment
would you agree as an anarchist that if there's a dog that will not shut the F up,
they're quiet and peaceful.
That could be in the HOA, and you would sign that. You'd be okay with that.
You know, I think I should have the option.
We're thinking it's
fine. I'm not saying you can't have an HOA that doesn't have shut your damn dog up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. This has been my reason for the property, because I noticed that you had, they're smaller properties, but where we were up on Port-au-Prince up there, I really enjoyed 2-acre properties.
Yeah, you had a nice property.
Because it gave you enough insulation. We could have our party. I mean, you could probably hear it. If it was,
but you were far enough away from your neighbor that you weren't in
cared.
Their face. That's right.
And they were
invited anyway.
You know, and the problem was if it was like October and you had the windows open at night, it's cool and you're getting a nice breeze, and Jordan Page is out there rocking it at 11:30 at night, it's probably time to kind of, you know. So we, and we had a Korean Christian church or something that was there on the corner. And every Christmas they would go around giving out cookies and whatever just to try and make nice with all the neighbors they pissed off with their parties or something. You know what I mean? You know, you just be neighborly. A barking dog, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, no.
So, and the other things, I don't think I owe anybody's, you know, photons. They don't like the way my yard works, or they don't like the junk cars I got. Or I go up, you know, because I have an acre and a half not too far from here.
Okay.
You know,
up here in the White Mountains area?
It's north of Sholo somewhere. I haven't been in years.
Okay.
And Don and I, she's never even seen it. We did it just to freaking get it.
Okay, all right.
You know, as a test to not be on the rolls and a trust of money order taxes to bite me. They don't know I got it, you know? So all of a sudden Ernie plops down. I go, hello. But the, so we'll go take a look at it. But if I was to get a, in a area, well, what were the things that I would be looking for? You know, when I go up there, when I went there, I saw these junkyards of, you know, trailers and RVs and stuff. And I go, well, it just looks like freedom to me. I don't care, you know. It didn't bother me. Now, if they had flashing laser lights on my property, or they had, you know, raves the whole night, you know, or barking dogs or something, I'm not feeling I'm getting the quiet, peaceful enjoyment of my property.
So I'm glad we're on the same page with the peaceful enjoyment, because that's, you know, that's part of the freedom is having, you know, sound freedom from sound pollution. So
well, there could be, and you could put that in there. That you know, there's it's always good to have a you know revelry party once a whatever or negotiate with your neighbors of something to something. You know, you kind of whatever.
A couple times a year, you let it loose.
But if you got you know 10 acres.
Yeah.
And you're away from it, then it ain't going to matter.
Yeah, yeah. It's you get a little more elbow room, a little more elbow room.
You know, and that's one thing. Arizona has so much room. There's so much room. You know, this is when I remember my brother-in-law went to San Diego from New York, and he goes to San Diego, and then they drove across the desert to Phoenix.
Okay.
You know, and that was right when the Viper Militia stuff was going on, okay. And they were out in the desert blowing up 5-gallon amphos and everybody's all freaking out back east. And my brother-in-law, and he's kind of a liberal-oriented, he's less so now, but as he came across, he comes across this desert for hours and hours and hours at 85 miles an hour for hours and hours. Yeah, you're driving across the desert, and he gets there, and he goes, who cares? Really? That's what they were worried about out in the desert? They were, oh, my God, who the hell even knew, you know? They didn't videotape it themselves. Nobody would ever even know. So it's just a different way of looking at it. When you're east of the Mississippi and certainly east of Appalachians, you're every square freaking corner.
It's dense. The population density is tight.
You know, and all the property and the farms are all out here.
Out here, we've
got
not
even the same thing.
We've got a lot of elbow room out here. Arizona really is the Wild West. I love it. I'm a, you know, you and I are both rugged individualists, Ernie, and Arizona's like our cup of tea because we get to do what the hell we want, and so, you know, that's...
Well, it's not because the government wants you to. It's just they can't find you. But, you know, it's... and that's one thing that you got to contend with up here in Sholo and Navajo County, because the Navajo Reservation, I think it's two supervisors, and the Apache Reservation gets
one.
And then you got two others.
And then there's two in the Sholo Pine Top Lakeside area.
Yeah, so I'm just like... You know, so who rules whatever, and it changes, and then you got the sheriff to contend with.
Well, yeah.
It can't always be conservative.
And, you know, for your listeners that might be considering up here, we are heavily LDS, Mormon-influenced up here. I've been told many
Which
times.
Which is often better than not.
Yeah, it's not bad. And, you know, I've been told things will go a little smoother for me if I join the church and, you know.
marry a Mormon woman.
But
get religious.
You know, I will say that, you know, by and large, the LDS population up here is very, very supportive of what we're doing, and we get along good. We get along great, and but it's, you know, so everything's going good up here. So that's what we're doing. We got the Derek Bros thing going on tomorrow. It's going to be all about freedom from the tyranny that's coming and creating a counter-economy. There's a swap meet place up here called 77 Swap Meet, which is what I talked to Jay and Claire, the owners, and that's going to be the hub of our marketplace, so where the public can go to buy and sell. The vendors will be there. We're going to be doing monthly meetings there. We're playing monthly meetings on the first Wednesday of each month, doing some movie nights, showing movies like Vaxxed and Chemtrails, What in the World Are They Spraying, and you know GMO and Genetic Roulette. And you know, trying to wake people up to all the different ways, whether it's
big pharma
or whatever.
You know, this is the kind of information that we need in the paper.
In your Freedom's Phoenix paper?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know what we're going to call it. You know, maybe you can help me with that. There was one of the guys in Yavapai was really excited about something. I can't remember what it was. I got to call him. But it'd be like, you know, Arizona Pioneer Alliance or some crap like that. You know, I mean, get that Pioneer Arizona, you know, community. Dispatch or something. I mean, you know.
Up here in the White Mountains, we're calling it the White Mountain Community Resilience Network. So that's what Paul and Gio and Rachel and I have formed over the last couple of weeks.
Well, see, that's we need a display ad for that in there.
Yep.
Because the Yavapai guys are doing it.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So we need that.
Jim and Janet Royal with the Yavapai County
you guys all
Preparedness
up.
Team. They do a great thing over there. I've been a guest speaker over there. Sold over 100 and some odd books when I went there and spoke a couple months ago. It's all about networking. I mean, you do a great job of networking. You know, you network a lot of the freedom and liberty people, and we have to support each other. And you know, we may have our little differences here and there, but we all agree. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So you know, our real enemy is not whether it's anarchy or Orthodox Christianity or this or that. The real enemy is anything that's taking away our rights to freedom, you know, our rights to buying what we want to buy and living where we want to live and doing what we want to do without government. Big Brother telling us what to do.
Government. You know? Government.
Yeah, government. Yeah.
Freedom, good government. Yeah. Bad, 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 bad,
right.
Bad.
That's right. And that's really one of the big premises of the New American and John Birch Society, is their big premise is less government and more personal responsibility. If people took more responsibility for all their actions, whether it's a dog barking or whether it's, you know, feeding themselves and taking care of themselves, we wouldn't need a lot of government. You really don't need government. If people take responsibility for the words that come out of their mouth and their actions, and they realize that the world is an old man living and they should get off their ass and do some work to create some revenue, to create some wealth, to pay for their expenses because they can't live for free without eating, you know.
Can I get an amen from the audience? Yeah. In 94, when we first ran our big libertarians, when we hit it hard, it was individual liberty, self-responsibility.
Yes.
You know, our big thing.
That's like John Birch Society's mantra right there. That's,
you know, I'm telling you, you know, this, but now everybody and their grandma tells you how libertarian they are.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I got Republican Party telling me how libertarian they are.
Yeah,
hell,
I even
got the Libertarian Party telling me how libertarian they are. You know, so it's, but it's really, it's kind of morphed into more, they go, you really are anarchist. Yeah, you're probably right. But, it's really been more of a voluntarist, anything peaceful and voluntary, leave me alone-ism kind of thing.
Well, and so it sounds like you're open with the anarchy thing to have some basic rules that would just keep non-aggression rules, basically. Like, you know,
well, there's always rules.
Yeah.
It's just who gets to determine what they are
or
how they're enforced. You know, you're going to have all these great rules that I like, and I go, And who's going to show up at my front door and tell me how I'm violating?
Well, that's the thing.
That's where the conflict resolution comes in.
Yeah. How do you resolve conflict? So what would you recommend? So let's say we build an anarchist.
This is going to be the most important part of the conversation with Derek tomorrow.
Yeah. So let's say we carve out a little 40 or 80 acre section of the Homesteader Haven, and it's anarchy central. And the anarchists get to decide the rules in that community. So literally, they get to decide. So who would enforce? How would those rules get enforced? Let's say you want peace and quiet.
How do they always get enforced? Let's say
you want peace and quiet, and I got a dog that won't shut the F up. And you've come to my house, and you've said, Tony, shut your dog up. And I'm like, F off, you know, leave me alone. So what happens then at that point? How do? And I'm not going to be that guy.
I'm
totally against dogs barking, but I'm just playing devil's advocate.
This has been my experience.
Okay.
Shunning.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest, because that's what it always comes down to anyway.
I'm Greek, and that, you know, they started ostracism. You know, the Greeks started
that.
Okay. If you're a dickhead, you get ostracized.
Yeah, see, we have two rules at Jackalope Freedom Festival.
Okay.
There's two rules.
All right, what are they?
Now, first rule, no camping or parking on the meadow.
On the meadow, okay.
You know, that's like a big deal with them. They got poles around. They don't
want
anybody out
there.
You
can sit there
in
the daytime, but at night you shouldn't camp there. Because there was the guy.
You can go out.
There was the guy with the Mad Max vehicle. He was out there in the middle of the afternoon with some lady friends there. But they were just sitting
driving?
He was just sitting there on a blanket for like an hour.
Oh, no. You can go walk. They just want motor vehicles.
Don't camp out there. Don't be
blazing trails whatever. Leave the meadow alone. Because one, you'll get stuck. I mean, that's fun. So
what's the second rule?
Don't be a dick.
So is it literally don't be a dick, really? All right.
Don't go on the meadow.
And don't camp on the meadow.
And don't be a dick.
Okay.
Who gets to decide what a dick is?
Yeah, well, and being a dick would be if your dog doesn't shut the fuck up.
Shut that fucking dog up.
Yeah.
The one thing, because we have had like 2-3 years, there's been raves. You know, it's all the way at 6 in the morning.
I heard about that.
And then they come to me and they go, hey, Ernie. I'm going, I don't remember getting elected sheriff.
You guys ain't paying me.
So we'd have like a town meeting. And the whole point was, we just had our 10th year. And the whole point was, can you have a bunch of anarchists out in the forest and have a successful gathering?
Right.
And it not turn into a shit show.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So there's been challenges. There's been, you know, people and things happen. But in general, whenever, because it's successful and you get hundreds of people out there and they go, oh, next year we'll take a little $5 gate thing or we'll organize it this way or we'll do. And that's exactly why they don't, for the last 2 years, don't have Burning Man.
Okay.
Because it got too organized.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going, there is nothing to shut down. So last year, in the middle of COVID and everything, it was, you know, well attended last year because they shut down Vegas.
Is Jackalope always in the same location?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's private property that someone allows people to, it state property or? Yeah.
Well,
who owns?
It's Forest Service.
They don't ever come around and hassle you guys?
Oh yeah, like the second year, man, they battle rattled. They wanted to have, you know, somebody explain it to them and you doing it wrong or something, because you have more than 70 likes, that means an event, you got to get a permit.
Yeah.
I'm going, I'm just camping. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Right. You know, they have a shirt. I got one back there that says, you know, has a jackalope on it, you know, and Jackfest, you know, 2021. And the slogan is, I don't know Jack. Because they, in the second, third year, they come and they go, all right, who's in charge?
There's nobody in charge.
We go, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, who's paying for the porta potty?
Yeah, no, that's a good question.
And you go, well, I don't know. The guy, we'll talk to them, and it was paid in crypto, and they don't know Jack either. You know? So that was the experiment. Could you have a function that was – now, Alma, you know, that she and I started together, Alma, she's always trying to organize something, man.
Okay.
She's one, and I'm just on her butt all the time.
Okay.
You know, but after 10 years, I made it 10 years, hey, you can do whatever you want, and that'll be part of the experiment too. They start to organize it a little bit more, then crap will happen.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so that's why when you say, you know, how would you deal with, you know, different things in anarchy? The same way you always do. Everybody goes, and you're being a dick, and if you don't want to be a dick, don't be a dick. Oh, if you're going to continue to be a dick, we don't help
dicks. And shunning is a good answer. So I went to New Zealand for a month in 2012. My sister moved there. And I hopped on buses, and I went all around the South Island on buses. And I stayed at eco-villages, and I stayed at a place called Adamai Village, and it was like an eco-village. And then I took a bus from there back to Christchurch, and this guy got on the bus that was really intoxicated. And he just started – he smelled bad. He wouldn't shut up. He urinated in his seat, and there's urine all over the bus. And the poor girl sitting next to him got urine on her, and he was hitting on her, and he was drunk. And then he got off the bus at a stop, and then the bus driver grabbed me and a couple of the big boys, and he's like, don't let that guy back on. He's basically a dickhead. And the guy tried to get back on, and I stood in front of the entrance with another guy, and we're like, you're not getting on the bus, dude. You've been voted off the island. You know, you're not getting in. And he tried to get a little pushy with us. And we let him know that, you know, there was more of us than him, and it wasn't going to end well for him if he didn't just, you know, kind of turn around and ducktail and ran. And he did. And he basically, we shunned him. So it was, and that was the model of dealing with buttheads, is they get shunned and ostracized.
Let me tell you what happens.
And that's a good solution, I think.
It's the best solution, I'll tell you why. Because if you don't have a someone that you're relying on, you got Barney Fife's going to come do it for
his
bullet out.
Right.
You know, if you're not waiting on, you're in the wrong if you do anything.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do anything.
Right.
Let the authorities deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
One, they're never there.
Right, that's right.
They don't do it right.
That's right.
And then when they do come, they shoot your dog.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, you're better off just taking care of it yourself, you know, with the community. And, you know, Lord forbid you start messing with children. I mean, then things get out of hand. A lot of times people are lynched, killed, whatever, when they were innocent. So you want to have a standard that go by. Now, I think it's in Matthew to where they talk about when you have a problem in the church,
you go to them. If they don't listen, you take two of your brothers with them. Then you bring the whole church in front
of
them. And if they don't listen, then they're out.
That's the best
way
of doing it.
Yeah.
And in fact, we have taken that approach, you know, at a lot of our anarchist, atheist, freaking whatever the hell.
Yeah.
I'll always bring that up. I go, look, this is how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you think they put it in the Bible just by accident?
Right. So that's good. Well, Ernie, I've really enjoyed being with you here, and I'm going to have to get run into...
Yeah, I know we hit an hour, so I was dragging it out as long as I could.
Well, this has
been a pleasure, and I want you to give out all the sites. Again, everybody get pen and paper, get ready.
Okay.
You know, go slow.
Okay.
You know, go.
So we have a couple of different sites here. We have homesteadershaven.com. So homesteaders is plural, haven.com. And then that's a 340-acre community that's an off-grid, organic farm to table agrihood. Now we own the land. We haven't started anything there yet. We're putting our road in this month, and we hope to have a church on there and have church services, Orthodox Christian Church, this Christmas.
What the hell does that mean, anyway?
Orthodox Christian. Well, that could take another 20 minutes to go. It's the original church from the time of Christ. The Catholic Church broke off in 1054 and started all the we had one church until the Roman Catholics started their church. So our church goes back to the times of Christ. So it's basically, I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole on that, but it's
what the book says.
It's the original church.
Got
it's the original church. And then we have the White Mountain Lake Air Park, which is in, they're both in the Sholo and the White Mountains. They're both at 6,000 foot elevation. The air park, we have 57 lots that are coming up for sale soon, average 0.7 to 1.5 acres. And that website is WML for White Mountain Lake, WMLAirPark.com. And then we have an event tomorrow with Derek Brose, and we have a website for that, and it's freedomdecentralized.org. And they have some information about that event for tomorrow.
And let's say a little bit about Sholo, which is the main city here, which is, what, 10 miles away or
yeah,
something?
It's 10 miles away.
So,
exactly.
You know, Sholo is it's a going concern now. It's got competing Home Depots and Lowe's.
Yep,
I mean, you know.
Yep. We've got our Walmarts and our car stores and Safeway and Bashas and you know, the major banks are up here. What it doesn't have, what I really like, what it doesn't have is it doesn't have all the big box shopping that Prescott has. And so we're not getting as Californicated as the Prescott Valley Chino area has, because we don't have the what I call the wife acceptance factor. We don't have all that, you know, ubiquitous shopping that the women all like to have. You know? So it's a little more rural here.
It's the stuff you really need. It's like the hardware store.
Yeah. It's not like Heber Overgaard where there's basically nothing. You know, they have a little health clinic and they have a little mart. And if you really want to do serious grocery shopping, you got to drive an hour and a half to get to Sholo or get to Payson. But so to me, Sholo is
what... Heber's got a kick-ass hardware store, though.
Yeah, they got a big-ass Ace Hardware in there.
Yeah, man, they're serious about their Walmart Ace Hardware.
But Sholo, for me, is a charming little mountain hamlet that it attracts people that are living like the rustic lifestyle, you know, living not quite as rustic as Heber Overgaard, but they don't need to be pampered like the Prescott area or the Flagstaff area. You know, so one thing we don't have a Costco or Home Depot. I'm sorry, we don't have a Costco or a Sam's Club is what I meant to say. So I have to do my monthly trips to Phoenix to get my little, you know, bulk supplies and whatever.
Oh, your toilet paper.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say the word isolated. How many miles is I-40?
We're 30 miles from I-40.
Yeah, so you know, so if you had to go to Flagstaff or something.
Yeah.
And does Sholo have a movie theater?
Oh, yeah, they have two. There's a White Mountain 8
Not
and a White
I
Mountain
give
5.
Give a crap anymore.
Yeah, I haven't seen a movie in a couple of years. But they have movie theaters here. You know, we had a bowling alley. They just took that out. There's some stuff to do. There's a fun kart.
Golfing.
There's a go-kart place. Lots of golfing. There's dozens of golf courses up here. So it's really an outdoor
ski
mecca.
Resort.
Yeah, ski resort, fly fishing, you know, trout fishing.
People don't know. You go to Arizona, you're sunbathing in a bikini, and 2 hours later, you're skiing.
That's right. You know.
I mean, it's awesome.
It's awesome. I love it up here, Ernie. I've been out of the valley for 5 years. I don't see ever going back to what I call hell, you know, living in Phoenix with the 165 days of over 110 last year. I saw this year where the Phoenix is only up to about 22 days, so it's nowhere near the epic summer.
Donna was in the desert. She wants to be down next to grandbaby.
Yeah, you were on the road all last year, so you didn't experience that 165 days over 110 in Phoenix last year, which was just insane.
I'm so sad. You know, we've enjoyed the trip, but. There's a lot of places I really like in the summer, a lot of places I really like in the winter, but all around, I'll take the desert.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I like the desert. You know, I'm trying to convince Donna that we need to have, you know, like a winter place down in the desert and a summer place up here.
Be snowbirds, know? Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's really the ultimate. If you can afford that.
Ultimate.
I mean, I'll be honest.
I got a bus.
I'll be honest. In December and January, Phoenix is awfully attractive in December and January. February, even November, Phoenix is very attractive. It's cold here, you know. But the rest of the year, from March till late October, early November, you know, it's nice up here.
Yeah, Arizona, I remember that was Italy and Rome. It was like you summer in one area and then winter up in the other area. Yeah. And that was, you know, that was the elite, man. That was, you was rich some bitch then.
Yeah.
And now you just got to have a pop-up camper and you're the elite.
Well, and for people that are really forward-thinking, I'm going to advocate to all your listeners to go rural. You know, get out of big cities.
Yeah, no, that's
where our country's headed. You don't want to be in.
No,
we go
back to the desert. We're not going to be in Phoenix.
No. Because you ended up selling your place over there.
We had rented.
You rented out? Yeah.
You know, the only property you ever had is up here.
Oh, okay.
You know, we just you know, I get silver.
Okay.
I mean, that was the whole plan for Donna and I, is that we, you know, when we, our savings, when it goes, all of a sudden it shoots up, land goes down, and we go this for that, or where we're going to live. That was the plan.
Yeah.
And it's getting there. You know, I'm paying attention. I've been, you know, buying my solar and getting my this and that.
Yep.
And we learned aquaponics and the chicken thing. And we know what we want to do. And we
greenhouses and all that.
Yeah, all the
geodesic greenhouses.
Geodesic domes and all that stuff. You know, and so I'm feeling, but I'm 60, man. I mean, I only got so many years.
We're in our 60s. Can you believe that, man? We're in our 60s. It's like, damn.
Yeah, but then it's by then when you really know what's up anyway, you know. I tell you, it was probably, I was 35, 40 before I felt that I had a pretty good beat on it. And then another 10 years and you go, yeah, I had a pretty good beat on it, you know. But it takes a while.
When you're in your 60s, you pretty much, hopefully, if you haven't figured it out by your 60s, you're not going to figure it out.
Yeah,
know?
No. I think we got a beat on it, but. This has been great catching up, Tony. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and maybe we'll talk to Rachel tonight or tomorrow. And I'm glad that all the people that I've touched base with again since we've been back, and a lot of them contacted me. I mean, from out of the freaking blue, that I knew I was going to be calling them anyway. You know, these different groups. The only ones that haven't called me that I knew I wanted to touch base with has been Kingman.
Okay.
You know, and Kingman, they went after. A lot of the guys, they just, you know, the man went out. They were doing it too well or something. I've heard all kinds of stories things that were going on. So, you know, we'll check with that. We get along the Colorado River. We get down to southern Arizona. We got to do a Bisbee thing, Tucson, Wilcox, Winslow up here had a thing going on. How they doing?
Winslow, so it's funny, I know a guy that used to be the chief of police of Winslow. Apparently there's a lot of gang activity up in Winslow. There's a lot of drug trafficking. It's the I-40 corridor, is a big major drug trafficking, and a lot of the stops are in Winslow, and there's some big drug wars.
Yeah, it's a lot of native reservation thing going on.
Hispanics
there.
Hispanics
so
there and all that.
Yeah,
Winslow, drug wars.
It just never struck me as viable.
Yeah, it's a pretty spooky town when you go in there.
So I wasn't really super worried about that. And that I'm married, so standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona, didn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And there's one thing that just keeps hitting my mind right now that I need to come on your show. So I'm gonna part with this. So I'm a big believer in Planet X, Nibiru, Wormwood in the Bible. Right. The Egyptians called it the Destroyer.
What's it called in the Bible?
It's called Wormwood in the Bible.
Really?
Yeah. And I've read about almost 30 books on Wormwood. All of Zachariah Sitchin's books, all of Marshall Masters' books, Jason Rand. I mean, I've done a deep dive on Wormwood. And by the way, Joel doesn't, I spent a week in St. George, Utah, Joel Skousen. He's not enrolled in Wormwood. He's not sure it's, you know, he doesn't really buy into it. I am convinced it's real. This guy named Jason Rand did this book. It's called The Return of Planet X for all of your listeners. If you want to really buy the best book that I've seen that does a deep dive on is it real, and they research all the different civilizations, Sumerians, Greeks, Romans, Chinese, you name it, and they, most all of them, you dig back far enough, they have a deluge story, and they have a Wormwood story, which is what causes the deluge.
Well, how many years is it? 25,000 or
every 3,600 years. So 3,600 years ago is when the 12 plagues of Egypt, when all the waters turned red, and then 7,200 years ago was Noah's Ark. So we're due for another Wormwood visit. Now, here's the thing that I'd ask your listeners to pay attention to, and certainly Ernie and Donna, if you see this happening, please bring me on the show, and I'll do a deep dive on it. If you see a significant increase in volcanic and seismic activity. That is prima facie evidence that wormwood is coming calling.
Wow, here it comes.
We've had a little bit. I was in L.A. last year, July 3rd and 4th, over my birthday weekend, and they had a 6.7 and a 7.1, and I'm sitting there, and my laptop's going like this and bouncing around on the table in the hotel I'm in. And that was the last time I was in California, was during that. But Marshall Masters, all the authors talk about what's called the winter of ash. And this is all in the Bible. You know, the Bible talks in Revelation about the birth pangs, and there'll be seismics, volcanoes and earthquakes. That's all throughout Revelation, volcanoes and earthquakes. Well, this thing is a huge brown dwarf star that has an elliptical orbit that goes around the sun. And when it gets close, the sun's going to be on one side of the earth, and this thing's going to be on the other, and it starts to stretch the earth. A lot of volcanic activity and seismic activity is caused by planetary alignments. And there's a guy that, Menscher Orenbosch, that did a whole study on that. I don't want to do too deep of a dive tonight, but the point is, when earthquakes and volcanoes start hitting, I need to come back on your show and do a deep dive on wormwood, because it's real. I believe it's coming. It's going to tie right into biblical revelation. And there's going to be a time in our future, especially around the Ring of Fire, which is in my book that I wrote at the last expo, where there's going to be so many volcanoes going off, Ernie, that you're not going to be able to see the sun. We're going to have a winter of ash. The atmosphere is going to be covered.
Like from Alaska down, yep. You know, Japan. It yep. goes around the yep. Pacific, up yep. California yep. and around. I mean, it's Ring of Fire.
And it's where all the biggest volcanoes and earthquakes happen. Right. And that is because you have the largest body of water, the Pacific Ocean, and it moves with planetary alignments. You know, and you have land that doesn't move. And so where's the biggest friction occurring? Where the water's moving and the land isn't. And that's why all the biggest earthquakes happen in the Ring of Fire. There's four quadrants. Indonesia had a 7.0 in 2004, killed 265,000 people. Japan had a 7.0 in 2011 that killed, with the Fukushima, killed lots of people. Chile had a 6.8 in 2010. It was remote, didn't kill a lot of people. Conspicuous by its absence in the fourth quadrant of the Ring of Fire is the west coast of North America. The other three quadrants of the Ring of Fire have all had 9.0s. And somewhere along the western seaboard of North America, there's going to be a 9.0. And when that happens, it's...
So
it's,
God's going to help us secede California?
Yes, yes. And I've studied, we'll have to do a deep dive on this, but I've studied
Dude,
the Sea of
Cortez.
I've studied the Sea of Cortez, and where the Sea of Cortez, you know, the Salton Sea and Indio and Palm Desert, that's all below sea level over there. They got that whole Salton Sea over there. There's only a little bit of land that needs to just go, and then
Arizona's beachfront property.
Well, Palm Desert's going to be beachfront property. Palm Springs, Palm Desert, it's all going to be beachfront property. Yuma will be beachfront
shifted
property.
Shifted a little bit. Yeah. We're going to be all right.
So, I think that whole Baja Peninsula, when wormwood comes a call, and that thing just kind of it redecorates continents.
You know, it's going to be all the more reason to, you know, prepare, you know, yeah. be able to feed yourself and stuff. I don't really get too worked up by even the most natural or even man-made disasters. You know, people are resilient if they are of the right mind. If they're been beaten into, you know, I just want to say that I should wait till after the show, but it was a China Z whatever. No more girly men on television anymore. Did you see this?
No, I haven't.
It was like all these metrosexual, you know, kind of, you know, girly kind of. He goes, you know what? I'm Lord God King Bufu of all I survey, and I just made that illegal. You're not allowed to do that. You bunch of wimps. You guys are going to have to get your crap straight. And I thought that was telling, that you have the leader of China all of a sudden coming out saying, yeah. we're going to have some hard times. You guys better get on.
China's the enemy of the world right now. But, yeah, so we'll have to wrap things up. But when there's earthquakes and volcanoes hitting, Ernie, bring me on the show. I can do a deep dive on Planet X.
Well, do I gotta wait till then?
Yes,
I might wait a while.
No, I think it'll be in the next decade, in the middle of this decade.
We'll have Tony on before then. Anyway.
I think.
Thanks for coming on, man. This is really you know, interesting, because I wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody knew that this was going on, that you're an inspiration to a lot of people, and there's Arizona. I don't know a lot of states. They may have one guy or two guys or three groups or something. Arizona, because I'm more familiar with it, is saturated with
this. You got Sheriff Mack, yourself, you got Howard in Sedona, you've got the Alliance for Defending Freedom, which protects our rights, based in Scottsdale, Arizona. You've got a lot of organizations.
Yeah, Constitutional
in Arizona.
Events Committee.
Yeah,
You got, I mean, there's a bunch of these PACs and
Turning
so on, but
Point,
I'm talking
Turning
about
Point
people
USA.
Living out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
you
there's
know,
a
people
lot
are actually
there's
meeting.
A lot of preppers, especially up here. Especially up here.
Yeah, from the guy that did Prepper Fest. Prepper Fest. Tony Tangelos, this is awesome. And give out the name of the White Mountain Lake Air Park.
Air Park, yeah.
Boom, I remembered it.
All right.
Pace.
Thank you. Thank you, Ernie.